Good morning, church.
Good morning. We're glad you're here this morning, especially if you're a visitor with us. We're delighted that you're here. We consider you a special honored guest. We hope that you'll find us to be a warm people who love God and love one another. We are thankful that we have this Lord's Day to worship together, to be together as we've gathered around the Lord's Supper to remember and celebrate what Jesus has done for us. It's good to be together. And here in just a little bit, we're going to enjoy a wonderful fellowship meal. I hope you'll plan on guests and members alike to be a part of that in the gym. We'll have a wonderful meal. I look forward to getting my first real taste of you Crosstown folks. So I want to see what I know it's going to be great. I know we'll have plenty. So plan on staying for that wonderful time. We know the early church remained in the apostles' doctrine, and one of those was fellowship meals, right? Amen. Breaking of bread, we know, and then, of course, the fellowship together. And so we'll enjoy some sweet fellowship afterward through in our worship hour. Of course, we remember what Jesus said about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. I mentioned last Sunday, as we came together, and it was Easter Sunday, as the world calls it, I talked about how we as a church, the one thing that we have, the one area that we cannot be outdone in, is we know God. And we have the Word of God, and we have the Son of God given to us, and we hunger and we thirst to be filled with God. If we as a church, if we have every program, every activity under the sun, but we don't have God, we're not going to quench anybody's thirst for that righteousness, which Jesus said, you'll be filled. God will do the filling there, by the way. That's passive. God will fill us. And I want us to be that kind of congregation. I know Crosstown has been that type of congregation, and may God help us to be always a church where when people come here from the world, hurting, abused, all sorts of problems, we offer them the one thing that they so desperately need and want, and that is our God. And that's what we want to base our church and the Lord's church on. I know this good congregation. I've thought about a number of things that I want to share this morning. I need to go down and get my clicker, first of all. It's going to take me a few weeks, okay? We got to learn the system and everything. It's always different from church to church. So one time I sat on this thing at Central, and it was during the song service, and next thing you know, they were having to do speed church and just quickly sing along. And I was sitting there thinking the same thing as most people. Who's running the booth in the back? I look over, I'm sitting on the thing. So every church is different, and got to figure this out, but I've thought a lot about what I want to say this morning on this second Sunday, if you will. I found this picture, and I have felt like this all week, and going back to last Lord's Day. You remember that? You those in school, you guys remember that first day of school, even right now probably, when you're even in high school. It's exciting, and you just want to shout to the world how excited you are. And Maggie and I both in our family feel that way about being here. We are indeed excited here to be here at Crosstown. We're still in that, over the next few weeks, transition from in Tulsa and then back in Shawnee some and back and forth. So if you'll bear with us. But I had a good first week in the office. Justin, Misty, the Charlottes, as I'm calling them. They all took it easy on me for the most part, I think. But we're glad to be here. And as I thought about that idea of anything that's a first, anything that you begin, it's so exciting. But I want us to think about as we begin our relationship to each other, and really in a very fundamental way, as I talked about God, and we are a church that is built upon God and His Son and His Word. If you have your Bible this morning, let's hold them up. I like to do this from time. We are a church that believes in the Bible. Amen? Amen? All right. And I want us to begin with that understanding of what your preacher is going to be doing as your minister. I want to preach the Word of God. I'm not concerned with what man has to say. Man can help sometimes, but I want to hear what God has to say. And we want to be that type of church. And I want us to, as we begin this morning, kind of on this second Sunday, but in some ways I want to call it from the first day, from day one. And I want to use Paul's statement in the section in Acts chapter 20. So if you have your Bibles, you might be turning over to Acts chapter 20, where Paul talked about some things that, as he spoke to the Ephesian elders, a congregation that he had worked with for a little over 2 years, Paul talked about things that he had done from the first day, or some translations you might have, from day one. He says, this is how it was when I was among you and my work and our relationship with each other. And he says, here's how it was from the very first day. And again, I know this is the second Sunday. I've just finished my first week. But I want to share some things as we do begin this relationship together, that we think about what Paul encourages the church. These Christians here that he's addressing, these elders, but we know that we can learn so much that apply to us all these years later as the body of Christ. And so I want to kind of use three words here in our outline that kind of sum up what Paul says here. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. This is a lengthy speech or message that he gives to these elders that he's very much, he's concerned about them, he loves them. We're just going to highlight kind of in the middle of this three key thoughts that he really points for us to think about. And the first word that he uses as we think about things we want to be consistent in from day one is he uses the word everything, or at least not the word everything, but that's the idea. Look what he says in verse 20 here. Actually, back up and get verse 18 of Acts 20. He says, when they arrive, this is when he's called the elders from Miletus, and Paul sent to them from Ephesus, the elders. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of many Jewish opponents. We know that Paul often trouble came his way when he went to preach in these locations and among these cities. In verse 20, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything, Paul says. I'm using the word everything here. But Paul says, I did not hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. Paul says that he taught them, we want to use the word everything. Paul declared to them everything that was to their benefit. This is a question about the matter of what Paul's going to preach. And Paul wants them to know right out of the bat, right out of the gate, what his motivation is, what he's coming to preach. Paul makes it clear on other occasions what his intent was as a preacher. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, on the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. He would say in Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I am still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And all the trouble that came Paul's way as a result of that. I like what Albert Barnes in his old commentary here says about this. He says, Paul was not going to please their fancy, to gratify their taste, to flatter their pride, or to promote their own popularity. It will be his aim to declare only that which will tend to their real welfare. Their what is really important to their welfare spiritually. And Paul says, I declare to you also what was profitable, or what was helpful. Some of your translations may say there. What is profitable? What is helpful? We're used to the idea of things that are profitable in a business, an economic setting, a transaction of currency and money. And usually you don't give up anything, that money that you have, that cash in your wallet, you won't just turn that over and give that up for anything unless you feel like you're going to get a fair exchange, right? A good service, a good product. And that's the idea here, is Paul is giving them that which is profitable. Paul uses this word in his letters, particularly to Timothy and Titus, sometimes called the pastoral epistles. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says this, "If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus." Then he says this, "Nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed." Some versions say sound doctrine. What does that mean? We hear that sometimes. Sound doctrine. Sometimes people even cringe when they hear that. Ah, sound doctrine. The word is simply healthy, sound, healthy, doctrine, teaching. And Paul says, I want to give you a healthy teaching, something that will nourish you, something that will be to your benefit, something that will build you up. And for something to be sound doctrine or healthy doctrine, number one, it's got to be true. It's got to be true. We know that. And this is a part of the message that we have in God's Word. God speaks to us His truth. We have what is true in this life. We live in a world that claims all sorts of truths and ideas. But we have we have God's voice blazing the path for us, showing us there is a way, there is a truth. It's embodied in His Son Jesus and in His inspired Word. But you know, truth is sometimes it's hard. I go back to a movie several years ago with a tagline in it that was very popular at the time by an actor, Jack Nicholson, I think, played the character. It was a courtroom movie drama. And some of you may know the line where Nicholson makes that classic line, "You can't handle the truth." Sometimes we can't. And Paul says, I came to speak what is true, sound, healthy teaching. Sometimes people lie to us all the time. You know, we have a world that people will tell us anything sometimes. Things we want to hear, things we want to believe, but they're not true. God comes along, Jesus comes along and says, I'll tell you the truth. And we have that word, we have that message. And Paul says, I brought to you what is truth. But also, not only the idea of sound doctrine being true, it's the idea of that which is all of what God says we want to hear. Everything. Maybe you're concerned about healthy eating. A lot of us are trying to eat better, and that's a part of our culture right now is a emphasis on health and fitness. There's a lot of good healthy foods that we could eat. One of those is broccoli, right? Some of you kids just love broccoli, right? It is, okay, great. Great. And it's healthy. Wow. But do you want to eat broccoli every single meal, three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Whew. You see, we've got to have the whole. We've got to have a variety here. And the idea is Paul presented all of what God said. And notice what he says here back in Acts 20, in verse 20. He says, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. And he goes on in verse 27, you'll skip down and says, For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Paul taught all of the will of God. You remember when Jesus was tempted there in the wilderness by Satan to turn those stones into bread? Remember what he said? We know this verse from Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You notice he said every word. We have a tendency at times to be selective in what we want to hear and what we want to obey even. Again, if it's something that maybe doesn't fit our expectations or our desires or what we might want, we have a tendency to kind of put it over to the side and say, well, yeah, I know that's kind of there, but it's not exactly what I had in mind. We want to hear all of what God has to say. You know, it's interesting, three times in the Bible, we are warned about not adding to or taking away from Scripture. We find it in Deuteronomy 8, or in Deuteronomy, where Jesus quoted from the book. We find it in the book of Proverbs, and we find it in the book of Revelation. Kind of the middle, the beginning, the middle, and end. Kind of a way to bookmark that. And we often apply that and say, well, that's, you know, in the church, we don't want to do anything that we do not have authority for, and that we can't find the apostolic example or the allowing us to do certain things, and we don't want to add to, and we don't want to take away, of course, any of God's commandments. And I believe in that principle. That's a restoration principle that I stand on. But let me tell you also what that is saying. We have to accept all of what God says, whether we like it, whether we want to hear it or not, because it is what is good for us. Remember what Paul warned Timothy again, kind of going back to the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy a little bit later on in his life. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3 that the time will come when men will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Imagine that. Turn away from that which is healthy and true and beneficial and nourishing. Yes, people will do it. Why? Because he says they have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. I want us to hear always, and may this pulpit, and as I know it has been in this congregation, to hear the voice of God in this congregation. Not the voice of the culture, not the voice of what others might think the church should be or do, but what does God have to say? And I want us to be grounded on that, even from this day one, this first day, if you will, as we're looking at. But also here, number two, and I promise these next two are not going to be near as long. You might have thought, wait a minute now, have we hired a long-winded preacher? These next two will go quickly here. But number two, not only did Paul say he emphasized everything from day one, he also emphasized he preached to everyone. In verse 21, notice what he says here in Acts 20. He says, I have declared to you, to both Jews and Greeks, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Both Jews and Greeks. Do you notice there what Paul says? Both to Jews and to Greeks. You know, we read our Bibles and we read that statement and it doesn't have a lot of weight with us. Let me tell you, that was huge in the ancient world, and especially for Jews. If you know your Bible from the story of Acts, that was a major issue of crisis and conflict about what are we going to do? The gospel now has went to the Gentiles. And remember, they had to have, Peter himself had to be admonished by Jesus in a vision to go to Cornelius. And then later on in Acts 15, they have to have a meeting about this. What is this? Are we to accept this? Yes, the gospel isn't just for the Jews. It's for the Greeks, the Gentiles. And we think about this today, and of course then, that's how they kind of segregated humanity. You were either a Jew or you were a Greek. And if you were a Greek, well, God's not so much concerned about you. He's concerned for us Jews. Thank you very much. He's given us His law. Well, of course, we know they misunderstood the Old Testament and that they were to be a light to the nations, the Gentiles. But this was to be for everyone. Everyone. But we have a tendency still to segregate. We have a tendency to divide by social, economic, racial, political. Even sometimes in doctrinal or interpretations, there are all kinds of ways that we can still kind of segregate a little bit. And Paul here says, I preached and I ministered. My focus was to everyone to hear the good news and to be saved and to be a part of the church. I'm concerned and I'm thankful to be at a church like Crosstown. I'm thankful that we have diversity here. And that's not, diversity sometimes is held hostage by some who wants to make it out to be a bad thing. It's not. It can be at times if it's misused. But I'm concerned about our congregations in the Lord's church that we have a tendency to look like everyone else. When our culture is getting so diverse, it is so multicultural, literally God is almost bringing the world to us in America. Our congregations need to be reflecting that. And I'm thankful this is a congregation that I believe is diverse in a lot of ways. And may God help us always be that. That whether we are white, or whether we're black, or whether we're Hispanic, or whether we're rich, or whether we're middle class, or whether we're poor, or whether we live in South Tulsa, or North Tulsa, or wherever, we are one body. We stand equally the same before the Lord. And we reflect that as a church. I believe that's very attractive and appealing to our world. And when they look at the church, do they see that? May God help us at Crosstown to continue that, because the gospel is for everyone. Those who struggle in sin, those who are struggling with addictions, those who are struggling in sinful behaviors, we are a welcoming body. Now again, I know that can be distorted and abused in the sense that, you know, churches that will approve of behavior that God says is sinful. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a church where people, everyone who struggles in any way is welcome to come and find grace and strength and help in their Christian life. And we want to be that type of church, I know, that is that welcoming church. But number three, Paul says not only did he preach to everyone, both Jews and Greeks, he says he preached everywhere. See that in verse 20? He says he didn't hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. And he had declared both to Jews and to Greek. Paul's experience was at Ephesus that he availed himself to every opportunity to preach and teach. Matter of fact, when you go back and look, you flip back in Acts 19, verses 8 and 9, he's in the synagogue. If you go back and also in Acts 19 and verse 9, he's in the school of Tyrannus teaching. In Acts 19 and verse 10, you have kind of a summary statement. This went on for 2 years. Paul was working there in Ephesus for a little over 2 years. So that all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. They went out to those in the province of Asia. We as the church have to overcome our mentality that sometimes we have developed over a period of time of come and get it. If you want it, if you're interested in it, if you want to know God, if you want to know salvation, we meet right down here at this building. And that is destroying by being a death sentence in many congregations. People are not beating down our doors to come in here this morning. We've got a nice crowd here this morning. But you and I know that there are hundreds and thousands of people all around us in this city who are not seeking God, necessarily coming to a place of the worship assembly. Many are still seeking. Many are still asking. Many are struggling and questioning life. And is there anything beyond this life? And we've got to go to them. Last time I checked, the Great Commission says, come to the church building. No. It says what? Go. Go. Go where? Everywhere. All of us have a sphere of influence. All of us have a place in our lives. All of us have opportunities to speak, to be an example, to be a witness for Christ in our jobs, in our homes, in our schools, in the community maybe in special ways. I don't know where all your opportunities are, but they are there for you. And may we as a church be a people who are going everywhere. And yes, we're here and we have times that we worship and we fellowship and we join together in this location. But God, help us to go and to go to everyone and everywhere. People are searching. Sometimes people have been burnt, to be honest. They've come to church. They've come down to a building. And they haven't been met with grace and love. They've been met with condemnation sometimes and judgment. And so we have people who are struggling from that standpoint, and may we be a witness, a light as a church body as we go out into our communities every week and every day of our lives to share the message. Paul said he went everywhere preaching and teaching. You know, there's a story that is told about the missionary J. Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary in China for over 50 years. He taught, he established Christian schools. He's a legacy over there in China. And years back, he was there and a student, he was back stateside, and a school teacher came to him, a unique school teacher. This man had one leg. And he came to J. Hudson Taylor and he said, I want to go to China and do mission work with you. And J. Hudson Taylor kind of thought about it and he looked at him and he could see in his mind the limitations and kind of thought, well, are you sure that you really think you can be of good over there? And, you know, he didn't kind of want to bring out the obvious, but, why do you exactly want to go? And he said, this man said, this one-legged school teacher, he said, because I don't see people with two legs going. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. We may only have one good leg. We may not be the best at this or the that, or we may not have the best influence, and maybe we're not rich, and maybe we don't have a big name, but we have one good leg. The Lord has blessed us. I believe our young people at LTC, the parable of the talents, God has given to us each abilities and opportunities, and we can serve Him. We have His Word. We have Jesus, our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit that lives in us and strengthens us and helps us live the Christian life to be a witness to this world. We've got one good leg, and that's all we really need. As we begin this morning, again, I want us to think about what Paul says from the first day that he did, and he emphasized, and may God help us here also from day one to be reminded of what Paul stresses to these men at Ephesus, these elders. You know, today spiritually can be your day one. Maybe you're struggling in your life as a person. Maybe a person who is already a Christian. Maybe you're struggling to overcome trials and disappointments and whatever it might be. I'm thankful we as a church family every week can rally around each other, can love each other, can encourage each other. And if you have that great need as a Christian, we want to encourage you. If you're here as someone outside of Christ, this can be your spiritual day one for you, that you begin a life of growth in Jesus as you in faith and repentance, turning your life to Jesus and are immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. You can have a transformation, a new life. This can be day one for you in Jesus. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand and sing.